Nancy Lee DeMoss says, you could have a huge effect on the women you know.
The kind of discipleship that women need best takes place in the context of the local church, where they're doing life with people who are older women teaching younger women.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, December 2nd. Yesterday, we heard part one of a message Nancy delivered to some friends of this ministry. In 2011, we've been celebrating 10 years of God's faithfulness. Yesterday, Nancy walked us through the past, remembering the beginning of Revive Our Hearts. Today, we'll evaluate the present and imagine the future. Here's Nancy.
I get the joy of reading these emails that come into the ministry, and I want to read several of these tonight that I think will just encourage your hearts. One woman wrote about Seeking Him. The Seeking Him book brought me into a true revival in the midst of my husband's meth abuse. It truly changed my life, the study of Seeking Him, showing me that I am commanded and have been given God's power to love as Jesus loved me, unconditionally, with agape love, in spite of how I am treated. It opened my eyes to love, repentance, and forgiveness. The best part is that because of my own revival, my husband got radically saved and has been clean, sober, and walking with the Lord for almost 2.5 years now. Amen. The influence of God's truth and God's word through a woman. Here's one we got just recently from a husband who said, I'd like to thank you for saving my marriage. For many years, I was caught up in a nasty addiction, hiding and lying. I kept it mostly from my wife. God began a work in my life a year ago that led to a day of truth. That's where you came in. Unlike any other Christian leader or teacher today, I know there are others, but he wasn't aware of others. Unlike others, you talked about allowing God to work in a woman's life and that marriage is not to be given away easily, to work through problems with the help of God if possible. My wife believed that what you taught was truly God's plan, and so we are working through the escape from and recovery of this addiction together. It's not easy. Yet since I surrendered it all to God, I have more hope than ever that I will make it. I doubt that I would have tried without the help of my wife. Did God make a wife to be a helper? I want to thank you for your part. The truth and encouragement your radio program gave my wife saved our 37-year marriage and me. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. See the influence of a Christian woman being a true woman of God. Well, through this ministry, we are calling women to discover and embrace God's created design and mission for their lives, to reflect the beauty and the heart of Christ to our world, and to be intentional about passing on the baton of truth to the next generation, and then to join together in praying earnestly for an outpouring of God's Spirit in our homes, our churches, our nation, and this world. And so through the past 10 years, we've been building a foundation, laying a foundation through the various means available to us, through publishing, through events, through media, launching these different outreaches. And through them, there have been seeds now that have been planted in hundreds of thousands of women's hearts. Now we're praying and seeking the Lord and have been over the past year or so. Lord, moving forward, we plan to continue all the things that he has started and launched, but how do you want us to build on that foundation to see this become a movement of women of God? And to believe God for a grassroots movement of Christian women who are living out the implications of the gospel. Not only keeping it to themselves, but by virtue of their lives and their passion for Christ, influencing others. Some of you may remember this advertising campaign in the 70s. I pulled it up on Google today. It was a commercial with a young woman who cheerfully chirped that she told two friends about Fabergé organic shampoo, who told two friends, who told two friends, and so on and so on. And her image was multiplying again and again on the screen. And it's, I think, just a cute little picture of what can be a reality as women, if you get women who believe something, They're going to tell somebody else, right? Many ones of you are taking what God has done in your heart, the resources that have helped your walk become more vital with Christ, and are sharing them with others. This potential for exponentially spreading a message from one woman to another is huge. I love that verse in Psalm 68, verse 11, that says, "The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host." Now, I don't think that's promoting a host of women preachers. I think it's promoting a host of women who hear the word of the Lord, who take it to heart and can't help but sharing it with other women. Those are announcing the news and they're a great host. And we're seeing that happen in just little anecdotal ways. They're not little in the light of eternity. They're significant, but in special ways. Let me just give you a couple of examples here. We got a call in our call center recently from a woman named Judy, who leads a Bible study in Soldotna, Alaska. Am I pronouncing that correctly? She leads a Bible study for 12 to 15 women in that community. They record their sessions, and then she sends the audio to a friend in Yakutat, which is a Native American Eskimo village, who teaches the same truths and resources to the ladies there. So they went through the Habakkuk series we have this past spring, and she was calling our call center to order the Ruth study for this fall. She said they need something to do during the winter up there. And so spreading from Soldotna, Alaska to this Native American Eskimo village, where I don't think we probably have a radio outlet out up there. I really am not sure, but taking these resources and spreading them. We got an email just within recent weeks from a publisher in Egypt that is distributed and printed and distributes Lies Women Believe in Arabic. And we're calling about now shipping to let us know they're now shipping that book, Lies Women Believe, to Lebanon. But this publisher has a sister organization that produces programs for Christian satellite TV in that region of the world. And they're wanting to produce a TV program for women to address in the Arabic world the challenges and issues that women face. And they want to use Lies Women Believe as the basis for this Christian TV show. The themes, the topics, and they said maybe we'll even call it Lies Women Believe, and they were wanting to know from us how they could get approval to proceed. Taking that message, grassroots, taking it to the uttermost parts of the world. I got around the week of our 10th anniversary in early September, two tweets from the same woman back to back. The first one said, "Hi, Miss Nancy. I thank God for you and Revive Our Hearts. Been listening to it every day here in Saudi Arabia. Life-changing." And then she followed it with a second one, said, "I just want to thank you because my life was changed through your ministry. Every day I listen to it and share it with some friends." She told two, who told two, who told two, and so on. And many, many illustrations of how that is happening in the United States and Canada and abroad, North America and beyond. But a grassroots movement of women who are, it's not just me that's influencing their life through my teaching, but they're taking it to heart and they're reproducing God's truth in others' lives. And then for those women to become a widespread movement of women who are praying fervently, individually and corporately, for genuine revival in the church. And then as part of this grassroots movement, I envision thousands of local church women's ministries, structured, equipped, and resourced to do in the context of the local church the discipling of women in the ways of God. I got an email just within the last couple of weeks from a woman who said, "I want to tell you about a revival in the hearts of women of my church. Our women's ministry leader, Kelly Bledsoe, told me about ROH at the beginning of the summer. She has now told all of our small group leaders and everyone I come in contact with at the church is buzzing about ROH. This year, our church started a women's small group Bible study. We had over 225 ladies sign up. This next year, it looks like we'll be using Seeking Him or the Brokenness Trilogy in our small groups. We often laugh and say God is up to something. He is using Kelly to lead the ladies in one of the largest churches in our city." This is Alexandria, Louisiana, I think is where this came from. "And she is only in her early 30s. Please continue working through the podcast. I love them. Please keep our women's ministry in your prayers." The kind of discipleship that women need best takes place in the context of the local church, where they're doing life with people who are older women teaching younger women. And that is a huge part of this next 10 years vision, is to see this more intentional Titus 2 type of ministry developed through these local churches, where women, older women, are teaching the younger women what is good. Now, that's easier said than done. And one women's ministry leader said to me recently, these women, as their children are leaving the nest, the moms are going back to the marketplace and they're not available. They don't have time to teach the younger women. So the younger women are desperate. They're taking up the mantle, say, we'll lead something. But they said within 2 years, they burn out because it's not the right season of life for them with little children to be providing the leadership. So we want to be promoting this Titus 2 movement. In fact, my next major book that I'll be working on next year is a book on Titus 2, what it looks like for older women to be nurturing and discipling younger women, the next generation. And we're asking the Lord over these next years to also help us develop an integrated effort of biblically grounded women speakers and authors who will be on the same page getting the message out. A number of those women right now are writing books, one on motherhood, one on marriage, books I can't write. But they are true women of God who are now at a season of life where they've lived it out. They're writing this message of revival and biblical womanhood. And just to get the message out in every way possible. We want to believe God for a more active presence as He does the work in other languages, countries, and cultures. And we're believing God both in the U.S. and in Latin America. Our second largest spoken language in this country is Spanish. Fourth largest, most spoken language in the world is Spanish. And we have many other opportunities. Our books are currently in, I think, 18 languages, last I heard. But focusing on the Hispanic world in the U.S. and abroad to get that message of biblical womanhood. And then we want to believe God to raise up not only women who are experiencing the freedom and fullness in Christ, but who are fruitful, not only by discipling other women, but who have a heart for reaching out to oppressed women, to women who are needy in domestically and international issues. And I believe over these next few years, God is going to give a few causes to revive our hearts, to partner with, that women can engage in. I think the women's prison ministry is going to be one of those. For the first time in our nation's history, we have more than 1% of the population incarcerated. And many of those are women. Many, many of the moms we're ministering to have sons or daughters who are incarcerated. And women reaching out, as Proverbs 31 says, she reaches out her hands to the poor. I believe there's some issues domestically and internationally that the Lord is going to allow us to have women who've been touched by the gospel then reach out and make a difference in other women's lives.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been reminding us of some of the serious needs of our day. She's also been describing how God is using Revive Our Hearts to meet some of these needs. She delivered that message to some friends of the ministry, thanking them for their prayers and support over 10 years and casting a vision for the future. She talked with this group about some big opportunities Revive Our Hearts is facing. She began by describing the newly designed website, reviveourhearts.com. It's a mobile-friendly website, and it's just the beginning of the ways we'd like to speak to new generations using new ministry channels.
Mobile apps, just so many things that will make the message more accessible, particularly to the younger generation. And we have got to reach these younger women who know no truth other than personal truth, and who need to have their lives brought under the authority of God's Word. We want to expand and develop in that area, then in targeting women's ministry leaders to resource, train, equip, mobilize, and encourage them to mobilize an army of volunteers and ambassadors. Now, there are a lot of those around the country,
But there are, I believe, tens of thousands, perhaps someday hundreds of thousands of women who want to be a part of what God is doing through this movement and will, right in their community, as revival ambassadors, to develop and distribute resources delivered in every way, print, internet, video. The True Woman Manifesto is a great piece to help women understand what we're talking about. Mary Cassian and I have just finished co-authoring True Woman 101, an 8-week Bible study on biblical womanhood that we'll be releasing under Moody Publishers in the spring. We're very excited about that resource. Pray for us. A week from Monday, we'll be doing a 2.5-day video shoot with 8 women to do 8 video sessions to go with that book. You know, early on in the ministry, we began talking about the fact that Oprah has had such amazingly pervasive influence on our culture. And some of you may have watched the final Her Goodbye series. Somebody just sent me a clip of one part of that. It was all I got to see. But it was a group of women led by some famous singer or movie star, I forget who it was, who stood up on the platform, a young woman, with 2 or 3 dozen young women, and said to Oprah, basically, "We are your children. We are the product of your life work." And they were thanking her for the influence she had had in their lives. And you could see that this Oprah's in her, mid-50s and had had such a huge influence on the next generation. The fact is, the women in most of our churches have been more influenced in their thinking by Oprah than they have by their pastor. Now, that's no offense to the pastor. I'm just saying she has been, and others who hold to this philosophy of personal truth, being your authority, they have been pumping their philosophy wholesale into women's minds and hearts through every conceivable means. Publishing, events, internet, media, everywhere you turn. They have infiltrated and permeated the culture. And we kind of talk in-house about how we want to believe God to use all the means we have. We're not a radio ministry. We're a message ministry, a mission ministry. And we want to use every resource available to us to pump the gospel, the absolute truth of God's word, into the lives of women so that that way of thinking becomes as pervasive in those women's lives as Oprah's influence has been in our culture. Now, when I think about the scope of what God has put on our hearts and what it will take to accomplish all that, I just kind of, I get scared. In the human realm, this is not possible. It's so much bigger than we are. But as I look to the Lord and realize His resources are not limited, His power is great, that's the whole nature of revival. It's God doing the impossible against all human odds. And I've been envisioning, we have as a board, how the foundation that has been laid over these past 10 years could expand exponentially over this next decade. If God is pleased to provide various kinds of resources, people, connections, the partnership with Moody Publishing is a great illustration of that, and with Moody Radio and other partnerships that we have that can help to multiply the message. But we're just saying, Lord, if you're in this, then would you just supply what is needed to make it happen over these next years? And I am so conscious that the movement we're believing God to accomplish will only happen by the power of His Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not because I am any gifted or capable author or speaker. I just know that. But I also know that we have a very, very great God. And that we have friends like you, not only in this room, but around this country and in other parts of the world, who share this vision, who want to partner with us and have partnered with us. And so we can't do it alone. And thankfully, we've not had to do it alone. You've been a part of the community of faith that has stood with us. And I just want to say, for all of us, in whatever ways it means laying down a piece of our lives, that Christ really is worthy of all that and more. I've been thinking about that last scene in Schindler's List. Any of you have seen that movie or are familiar with it, where, you know, Schindler has, through all those years, has sold off possessions so that he could buy Jews and save them from being killed by the Nazis. And there's this very powerful scene at the end. It's the very last hours of World War II, and Schindler is surrounded by this group of people that he's worked so hard to save. And they are immensely grateful for all that he has done. But Schindler is conflicted. And there's actually a sense of remorse and shame because he looks around at these people. I think it was 1,100 that his lives he had saved by his sacrificial giving and courage. But he looks around and he starts to think of how many more he could have saved if he had made some different decisions in his life. And he says, he's just kind of under his breath, I could have got more out. I could have got more out. He says, I threw away so much money. I didn't do enough. And his friends there are kind of consoling him. Says, look, there are 1,100 people here. There are generations who will thank you. And that's not good enough for Schindler. He looks over at his car and he says, this car, I could have sold this car. Why did I keep this car? I could have saved 10 more Jews if I'd sold this car. And then he takes off his gold Nazi lapel pin. He holds it up and he says, this is gold. I could have got two or at least one more out if I hadn't held onto this pin. And he weeps. He starts sobbing. He breaks down. And it's just, I could have got one more out, and I didn't. Now, I don't believe at all in shame-based giving. But I've been inspired as I think about that scene, not just in terms of the giving of financial resources, but in terms of the laying down of our lives for the sake of Christ and his gospel, and to realize that whatever God may ask of us here and now in this life, and I'm not just talking about Revive Our Hearts, I'm talking wherever he has you putting your resources and life and time and efforts and heart and energy, whatever he asks, do you think there's a chance that when we get to heaven, we're going to say, wish I hadn't given so much time, heart, effort, money? Not a chance. I know I'm going to be saying, as we look at those nail-scarred hands, I wish I'd given him more. Wish I'd given him more. One more woman, one more family, one more marriage. And that is not in any sense an attempt on my part to say, you guys should do more. God speaking to my own heart and saying, time is short, eternity is long, and the opportunities before us are so significant to influence and impact a generation, to take back, we got Eves and Marys in this world, basically. Eves who live by their own personal truth, and Marys who say, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And I just want to believe God to raise up a whole new generation of Marys who will be God's handmaidens and will be instruments of bringing the redeeming life and truth of Christ our Savior into this world.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been sharing some of what's on her heart for the days ahead. We're praying for God to lead Revive Our Hearts into new areas of effectiveness. She shared that message with some friends of this ministry who believe in the mission. And Nancy, how did they respond?
Well, it was so encouraging to see how many who were at that gathering really did catch a God-sized vision. They recognized that Revive Our Hearts is poised for even greater kingdom impact over the next few years. And when we talk about growth and impact, we're not talking about that for its own sake. Our goal is to serve and to contribute to the advancing of God's kingdom. And that means embracing new opportunities in broadcasting, in foreign language ministry, in social media, and in other forms of communication, some of which are especially vital in reaching the next generation of women with God's truth. Now, some dear friends who are excited about what God is doing through Revive Our Hearts at this time have offered to match each gift given through December 31st up to a matching challenge amount of $600,000. I'll just tell you, that's the largest challenge by far that we've ever taken on, and we'll only receive those funds if friends like you will help us match them. Because of the opportunities for increased fruitfulness that God is giving us, now is the time. Will you help us meet this challenge and, Lord willing, even exceed it?
to make a donation toward this challenge, give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit us at reviveourhearts.com and let us know that you want to be a part of helping to reach more women by partnering with us in this matching challenge.
When you open up your home, you have a chance to put the gospel on display. Gain an in-depth understanding of hospitality starting Monday on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.